You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 28th of December, the final show of 2018, I believe it is. And not a very good one to talk about last night. We'll try to have some fun nonetheless. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers on this daily podcast of the Utah Jazz. When you get in your car, you can just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Or if you got one of those Alexa or Google things for Christmas, you can tell your podcast, tell them to play podcast Locked On Jazz. So thank you very much for tuning in. Thanks very much for 2018. I'm not going to do a show on New Year's Eve. We fly that day to Toronto. And so I'm not going to do a show that day, and then probably will not do a show the first in Toronto, and we'll do a show for you back on the second. We'll come back your direction. I just want to thank you. This has been a tremendous year for Locked On Jazz. I want to thank you for any of you listen to any of our other podcasts on the podcast network as we have grown both listenership and revenue in dramatic fashion. And might have actually built a company that's got a little something to it. So couldn't have done that without your support here locally. All of the Locked On Podcast Network is really a sign of your support of this show and then allowing me to have the belief to take it somewhere else. And I super appreciate that from you and appreciate your kind of ongoing support that eggs me on and makes me believe that we have something that's worth something. So thank you truly very, very much for what has been an incredible 2018. Now let's get to what was not a very pretty performance by Utah last night. I was talking to Tim Roy, Golden State Warriors radio voice, on my drive home last night. They had just finished up their game against Portland, and we were conversing, and I said to him, I was like, I just don't know if we can beat them. Like, they just match up with us in such a fashion that you didn't feel like we could beat them at all. Now, what's interesting is I went back and looked, and last night our defensive rating was a 117, which was it's really bad. We just couldn't get stops last night at all. And it's our 28th-ranked defensive outing of the night. It's our worst defensive outing since the Pacer game when we just had no legs left. It's, I think, the season turned, as I talked about, I think, on the program yesterday, between Sacramento and Los Angeles when Sacramento ran by us. So it's our worst defensive performance other than that Indiana game since then. We kind of had eliminated nights like that. Last night felt a little bit, again, in that fashion of just on our heels, they're coming at us. They're a little bigger, stronger, faster, and we just didn't have an answer. Which, by the time I left last night, I was like, okay, we just can't beat those guys. Now, maybe we can't. Maybe Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid are all getting better, and they've kind of figured it out. And there were some strange parts on our end as well last night we'll get into in a second. The only concern that I have kind of looking at this was the magic number for us is to prevent our opponent's fast break points from under, to keep them below 10%. When we keep them below 10%, we're generally okay. The Sacramento game was we allowed four straight where the teams went over 10%, and then we really have taken that away from people. The Warriors were at 22%. They run a little differently. Oklahoma City was at 15%. Portland was at 10% again. And the 76ers were at 10%. So our transition defense, which for a while in there had people down to 4 and 5%, was not as good last night. They got out in transition. They were able to kind of come down our throats. Ben Simmons is really something. You know, he's 6'10". You have to kind of guard him with a power forward because he's just simply too big to be guarded by a point guard. And then you're cross-matched the entire time. And cross-match means you've got one guy guarding one guy on one side of the floor, and he's guarding somebody else on the other side, so you're searching for him. Redick comes down as this incredible shooter. Simmons gets into the paint. You collapse down to deal with that. He finds Redick trailing him because Simmons is faster than with the ball, is faster than Redick coming at you. And he gets these quick threes, and you just haven't had time to mark up. It's pretty impressive. And they looked great last night. When we played them earlier this year, and now Butler was just getting involved, I thought they looked awful. We went 4 of 22 in that game, and my comment the entire game was they should have been blowing us out of the building, and we were still close. Last night, they blew us out of the building. And it's an interesting matchup because and they're getting better. This is probably, you know, something that's worth noting, is that over the last 10 games, they're the fourth best offensive team in the league. And when I was prepping for them, it jumped out to me. If league average offense is 107, you take them back to kind of the beginning of December, about December 7th, and these aren't against great teams, but they could put up 113, 114 against Detroit, 118 against Brooklyn, 102 against Indiana, who's the best in the league, 120, 130 against Cleveland. Don't have a good game against the Spurs. They lose by 27. Put up a 131 against the Knicks, a 115 against Toronto. They don't do well against Boston, on who's, you know, the second best defense in the league, or third, 99 point, and then put up a 116 last night. So that they're rolling a little bit. They've had five of their top 10 offensive games in their last eight games. So they may be figuring some things out from an offensive standpoint. They also were playing not great defensive teams, but they certainly made us look like they weren't a great defensive team. And to my point of fast breaks, that's the second fewest percentage of fast breaks that they've had in a game since the 28th of November. So maybe we actually did a pretty good job. I mean, 9.6, they've been up over 11-12%. And that would exemplify that while we actually may have done a pretty good job, that's what a force they are coming at you. What was interesting also about them, and I talked about this on Postcast and Empty the Noggin, is two of the things we do best, they don't do. So they don't drive to the basket, weirdly. And they don't play pick and roll because Ben Simmons is not a pick and roll guy. They only run 35 picks a game. And so the two things that we do best defensively, they don't really do. They're kind of a transition spot-up team. And that transition doesn't allow – and they kind of freelance, just kind of play open court. That causes a little bit of problems. That really last night looked like just a team that we couldn't handle. Now, that's not actually true over the years. I mean, last year their offensive rating was a 96.1 and a 101.2 per against us. Now, maybe they've gotten better. This year their first game was a 109.6, and then this one was a 116.4. So that, they really, you know, we can look at, you know, where they got their shots and various things like that. It just felt like they had us on our heels the entire game in a manner that we didn't have an answer to. That what their offensive actions were things that we weren't handling very well in the half court. Their one-on-one mismatches were pretty continual. We did a decent job on Embiid, but they seemed to have so many other options. And then they'd get down court on us in early transition in what to me felt like a lot, but as I just pointed out, compared to what they usually do, was not, which tells you that we were probably busting our butt a little bit to actually keep it at that level. And then, and yet it still felt like an awful lot. So I said in the postcast, I'd be curious to play them in a playoff series because I wonder what they would be, you know, what they might do. They went 18 of 25 at the rim. 25 shots at the rim is not a lot. They went 6 of 14 on their little floater range shots. That's just high, 43%, but not crazy. They hit their mid-range shots. TJ McConnell hit those last night. So they had a few more shots than you'd regularly hit, but they hit 10 of 26 on their threes above the break. So it wasn't like they went insane, but they just blasted us last night. You know, the Jazz do have an offensive item that 36 games into the season. I'm not sure why it's going on, and probably something that has to be talked about. We'll talk about it coming up here in just a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homie. Homie's really an interesting company. Homie's looked at the real estate market and after some other businesses and that these guys have been involved in, coming out of BYU and getting into their business program. And they actually, their first business was Entrada, which is a apartment system business. And Johnny Hanna came out of BYU and grew up on a farm in Montana. And then in his business school class at BYU, built Property Solutions, which became Entrada. And that was while they were a student. I think one of the wives, he told me, was when I met with him, was working at this apartment complex. And, you know, there's this line of out the building of people trying to pay their bills. So they started this company and built it into a $100 million revenue company, did great with it. And now he said, all right, well, let's do something big and disruptive. And he co-founded Homie. And Homie is here to change the real estate world. Homie's mission is to save customers thousands in commission when you buy or sell a home. For example, an average Homie customer saves over $10,000. They recently sold a $1 million home in record time, saved the homeowner $60,000 in commission. I mean, that's just equity right there. $199 to list your house, $1,299 to close. If you use the promo code LOCK, you end up with $100 off that. It's pretty amazing what Jack Hanley, Mike and Johnny have built. Jack Hanley's their head of VP of real estate. He came over from Berkshire Hathaway. So give him a call, 801-899-0072. That's 801-899-0072. When you buy a house with Homie, you can qualify for up to $5,000 buyer refund. So if you sell a house with Homie, it's $199 and then $1,299 to close. Homie is selling homes faster than the overall market individual agents. You not only save thousands, and you've got the entire Homie team there to back you up. That's 801-899-0072. Today's show is also brought to you by Intercap Lending. Steve Carter and my friends over at Intercap, another great Utah company. Intercap's doing really cool stuff in the lending market, and the reviews that come in make me happy. I love it when you guys go and use our companies and then come back with these great reviews of their experience. Steve Carter is just one of the great customer service people you're ever going to deal with. I experienced it firsthand. Tanner Lacey says, I worked with Steve Carter. It was by far my best experience with a lender. Steve was always on top of everything, was in constant contact with me and my builder to make sure everything was moving along great and was always super helpful. There was one point in the process where we hit a little bit of a speed bump, and not only did Steve help us get over it, he stayed till 8 o'clock on a Friday. This matches my story. We had a key moment. Steve drove to the Zions Bank Center, picked up all my paperwork for me. He's incredible. 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. What separates Intercap Lending? They are a direct lender. And so, therefore, they actually still have my loan right now. No overlays, no additional requirements. They can get difficult loans done. Low credit, self-employed business, multiple properties. They can take a look at any loan. 40-year mortgage company, now in Utah, growing fabulously. 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. All right, let's look at this. Cleaning the Glass is a really interesting website, and they break down a bunch of aspects offensively of the teams. And in the case of the Jazz, it's interesting to me. There was a lot of people that used to bother Coach Snyder about media. You're so slow. You don't play fast. And, you know, Quinn gave one of these great answers one day about nobody likes anything that's slow. Like, you know, the slow student's not good. The slow car's not good. No one likes anything that's slow. And the Jazz have, in turn, picked up their pace dramatically. They're now 15th in the league in pace of play, coming from 27th. And we're, you know, Quinn's changed what he does. We'll come and play early offense. And it's interesting. I'm not sure it's helping us at all, frankly. Our offense has gone from 13th in the 16-17 season, to 16th in the 17-18 season, to 21st this year. There's nothing out there that shows any correlation between pace and efficient offense, other than if you play possessions earlier, you're supposed to be better, but it doesn't work for an entire offense. So when you look at our offense this year and say, okay, well, what's happened that we've gone from 16th to 21st? It's pretty minimal. It's 0.8 points. So we're shooting a little less well. We're turning the ball over a tiny bit more, but somewhat immaterial. Our offensive rebounding is actually up a little bit, and our free throw rate's up. So wait a sec. In our four factors, our shooting is off 0.2, our turnovers is off 0.5, our rebounds are up, and our free throw rate's up, and yet we're down 0.8. So what's that seems weird. Our three-point shooting is down, okay, from 37.1% last year in non-blowout moments to 34.9. Okay, that's a little interesting. Our rim action is about the same. Our short mid-range is down. The little floater range is down. Our long mid-range is way up, probably unnatural. We're the third-best mid-range shooting team in the league. Probably going to come back down. Though only Donovan's shooting him, so we kind of have a little bit of the mix where. So you look at our half-court offense, and this is where cleaning the glass is really cool. Cleaning the glass breaks everything in between half-court, putbacks, transition, steals, and live rebounds. So in our half-court offense, we're playing it much less. We're actually better at it than we were a year ago, by a little bit. But we've gone from 20th in the league to 16th. And so it's kind of the opposite of what our overall offense has done. We're averaging about the same points per possession, and we're offensive rebounding a tiny bit better, which probably makes it a little bit better. But so our overall half court, get caught in the half court, our offense is the same to slightly better. In transition, which we're doing considerably more, we've gone from being 10% of our possessions in transition from 15, 16, 16, 17 to 14% last year to now 15% this year. And we're not good at it. Last year, we were the sixth best team in the league in transition at 125 points per 100 possessions. This year, we've gone from 125 to 113. And gone from sixth in the league to 27th. Where it's most obvious, our steal rate off steals were about the same, is off live rebounds. When the other team misses, and we're switching ends of the floor right now, we're 29th in the NBA, and we're actually incredibly almost, we're below a point per possession. We're at 99.3. Last night, we were at like 0.3 points per possession. I mean, almost so bad it skews the numbers. What's strange about this number is over Quinn Snyder's 5 years as the head coach, the variance. His first year, 14-15, we were the fifth best team in the league. 15-16, we were 30th. 16-17, we were the third best. 17-18, we're the third best. And this year, we're 29th. Now, I don't have the capability of conducting an entire study here and looking at all of our possessions and wondering if maybe it's just quick transition threes aren't falling or what it is about, you know, Ricky's not really a rim attacker and we're just not getting out. But we're doing it. What's interesting about that is we're actually doing it more often. So we've gone from 24.5. I mean, literally, we used to take live rebounds and turn them in transition from 15, 16, 16, 17, 16% of our possessions, lowest rate in the league by far. Now we jumped it up to 26%. We're 22nd in the league, so we're no longer in the bottom half of anything. And I generally feel like, you know, I don't know. I mean, this is supposedly good, like to get out and go on this, and we're just not converting it. And I wish I had something more than the number, and I had a piece of analysis, and I could explain to you why that is. And I really, honestly, I don't. I kind of mystified by it. I would say that, yeah. I mean, if I had the capability, and I just don't, to be able to run some. And maybe I could. Maybe I could try to find a way to run some numbers on whatever shot clock or I don't know. I mean, I was looking at it earlier. Here's where we rank based on shot clock stuff. Here's where we rank so far this year. Now, the first 2 seconds of the shot clock are usually offensive rebounds. So if you go to 22 to 18 early in the shot clock, we rank 28th in the league, 27th in the league at 55.7 effective field goal percentage. We shoot just 33% from threes early in that clock, which is the fifth worst in the league. Only Milwaukee, Minnesota, Brooklyn, and Phoenix are worse. We take about 11 shots per game in that rate. And five of them are threes. I don't know if that's a high percentage or really or not. It's middle of the pack. Our 2-point percentage is in the middle of the pack, and our overall frequency in this is in dead middle of the pack. But we're 18 to 20, then 15 to 18 on the clock, which I'm not sure even still classifies as transition. We do this about the eighth least of anyone in the league. Our overall shooting in this circumstance is middle of the pack. And our 3-point shooting is, as you know, we're not a good 3-point shooting team yet, is 24th in the league. At that same kind of 33.5%. In that so really it's that early 18 to 22 of the shot clock, we're pulling early and not making shots that everybody else is making. Now, I don't know if that's small sample size theater or not. You get to the middle of the shot clock, now we're talking. Now all of a sudden, we're running our offense, we're getting our stuff, we're the eighth best field goal percentage team, we're the seventh best effective field goal percentage team. Our 3-point shooting is better. Our 2-point shooting is the fourth best in the league between 5 and 7 on the clock, and we do this 49% of the time, which is a pretty high rate. Then you get into 4 to 7 on the shot clock, and we're the third best effective field goal percentage shooting team in the league. We're the fourth best 2-point shooting team in the league, and we're the fourth best 3-point shooting team between 4 and 7 on the shot clock when Quinn's offense gets rolling and gets going. We're only in the middle of the pack of doing that. And our effective, now what's interesting is our effective field goal percentage in that circumstance is 57%. As I said, it was super high. 7 to 15 on the shot clock, we're 54%. 15 to 18 on the shot clock, we're 54%. This is unusual. Most teams are not better as the clock goes on. And then the wild one is that from 18 to 22 on the shot clock, we're at 56%. That's where teams like just do incredible stuff. Boston, Toronto, San Antonio, Charlotte, LA are all over 60%. As are Orlando, Memphis, Miami, and Dallas. And we're not able to do that for some reason. So that's the one area where I think we really have to improve our offense. And last night it really jumped out. We had 0 points almost in those circumstances. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. Happy anniversary to Blake and his lovely bride who were at the game last night for their anniversary, having a nice night. Ben from up in Logan was down there for the game. He made the long drive and then got a stinker of a game, which is too bad. I will give Blake credit. In the efficiency rating of anniversary nights, he left with about 4 minutes left in the third. If I was on my anniversary night and it's an 8:30 start and we're down 20, I'm leaving with 4 minutes left in the third. I think that's a good call by Blake. So if you see Blake and Lyndon today, tell him nice call. The Hyundai has got end of the year sales going on for you. If you're shopping for a car right now and you don't have Hyundai on the list because, well, if you're my age, you're probably, it's a little bit that you don't quite understand that brand. If you're younger, I think you guys are smart to what that brand means. But if you haven't put them on your list, add that to the list. Maybe you're looking at the Subaru Crosstrek, then put the Kona on the list. If you're looking, you know, at the Ford Escape, then go, that's probably a Kona too, or go look at the Santa Fe. If you're looking at a Honda Pilot, I don't know if they still make them, go look at the Santa Fe. You know, just add the Hyundai version to the list and make sure you compare and contrast what you can get for your dollar. I think you'll be really stunned and impressed of what shows up at 4646 South State Street. You also get the Murdoch guarantees of the oil changes for life The safety inspection and car washes for life. Plus, you get the 5-day price match guarantee. It's all at Murdoch at 4646 South State Street. A few notes around the NBA before we leave you. I thought last night was really interesting. Twofold. There's a bunch of games tonight, 10 games tonight. One, Houston's rolling without Chris Paul. James Harden is having a 7-game stretch that few people have ever had in the league. And he dropped 45 last night, 9 of 18 from 3. We got caught in this. His last 10 games, he's averaging 39 points a game. I mean, this is incredible. He dropped 50 on the Lakers, 32 on Memphis, 47 on the Jazz, 35 against Washington, lost to Miami 35, 39 against San Antonio, 41 against Oklahoma City, and 45 against Boston. His December, he's averaging 36 points a game, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. I mean, he's carrying that team back into this, and they torched the Celtics defense last night. So really interesting to watch them without Chris Paul with a very limited roster. Austin Rivers has been a great pickup for them. He's playing 33 minutes a night for them. Their offensive rating last night was a 131 against Boston's defense. Might be a similar thing for Boston on the Rockets, that they just play this isolation, make you guard one-on-one. You can't use any of your systems, and it doesn't work. Not sure. Jaylen Brown last night, 24 minutes, took 12 shots. Gordon Hayward, 24 minutes, took 5 shots. Gordon was minus 19. Brown was minus 22. Brown did have 18 points, but Gordon took the 8th most amount of shots of the 2nd straight game on that team. Cannot be happy with that. Sacramento came from down 15 with about 7 minutes left to beat the Lakers last night. Without LeBron, they just didn't know how to close. Kuzma had 33. Brandon Ingram had 22. It'll be interesting to watch what they do without LeBron. Lonzo Ball had a great game, 20 points, 9 rebounds, 12 assists. He's got a lot of Ben Simmons to him, by the way. They both just get down the floor so fast. But the score that jumps out to me is Portland-Golden State. Portland had the game in control late in the game. Curry and Durant hit a bunch of threes. They bring it back. They deny Dame to get to overtime. And then they play overtime in a game that was an 8-7 overtime. And the Warrior and Dame hits a 26-foot three-point shot with 6.3 seconds left to switch a 109-107 game to a 110-109 game. And then Steph, unable to get it off, Durant ends up taking the final shot. And the Warriors lose at home to Portland. They clearly have a bit of a malaise to them right now. But it's interesting to me. They lost to us, which I didn't think was that. But they got blasted by the Raptors. They beat the Kings and the Grizzlies. They lost to us. They beat the Mavericks and the Clippers. Close games, though, on both of those. They get hammered at home by the Lakers. And I really thought last night, going into it, was like, okay, this is a night where they're going to come out, do their thing, remind us that they're the Warriors. And they didn't. Which is interesting. I'm not willing to go to this like, oh, the war. But it does feel to me that there's been a bunch of times this year where the Warriors could do Warrior things and they haven't done them. And they're just Durant 26, Curry 29, Thompson 15, and then just Draymond 15, but nothing else. I mean, Jerebko gives them a little bounce in 25 minutes, but just nothing else. Their offensive rating last night was a 96. They're still the number one offense in the league, but Portland really caused them problems last night. And Nurkic, they didn't have an answer for. The one thought I have is I didn't do points gained today, is the big guy has become so important. And if you do not have a rolling big to the basket, I think it really hurts you. Now, they're the number one offense in the league, so to say it really hurts them might be a ridiculous comment on my part. But it feels that way. It feels, and now DeMarcus is not a great roller, but it does suddenly feel like they need DeMarcus, which is a crazy, crazy concept. They're down to the third best offense in the league. It's very closely. Toronto's 112.6. Houston's 112.5. Golden State's 112.5. Milwaukee's 112.3. Clippers are 112.1. The Spurs are 112.0. Spurs not shooting a three. Sixth best offense in the league. Pretty interesting. All right, that wraps us up. Hope you have a great New Year's. Be safe. I'll talk to you on the 2nd from, I think we'll still be in Toronto. So I look forward to chatting with you. Oh, actually, on the 2nd, we might actually be in Cleveland by then. Second morning, I think we're in Toronto. We're still in Toronto. So I'll talk to you from Canada next. Have a great day. And thanks so much for tuning into Locked On Jazz. And thank you for all your support in the 2018 season. Locked On NBA should have a new episode with Anthony and Adam. And if you didn't hear Kevin Pelton, make sure you go grab that. Have a great day. See you.